We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Kenzie, how's everybody? Y'all good? Okay, so the last few weeks we've been talking about love languages. And the first week we talked about affirmation, things that people say that make you feel good, or maybe things that you say to make other people feel good. And then last week, Miss Barbara talked about, was anyone here? Anybody remember? You were here. You were here, right? Time. She talked about time, right? And today we're going to talk about, what do you think? What is this? It's more than a bag. Gifts, presents, right? Would anyone like this present? Yeah? Would you like it? Yeah? Anybody else? Yeah? It's cute, right? It's got little angels on it, and it's got all the little fun confetti to make it look pretty, right? But I'm going to do something. We're going to look inside of it. Look in here, Connor. Look. Can you see Ellis? Look. Guess what? It's empty. Oh, they think I'm mean. But it's empty, right? Even though it's cute and fun and pretty, it's empty. But I actually have something for you guys. See this little bag? It's just a plain old Ziploc bag. Yellow and blue make green, right? This one is pink and blue make purple, right? That's the only thing fancy about it. But inside of it are some little bugles. And you know what I can do with these bugles? I can pass them out to you guys. It's okay to eat in the sanctuary right now. You want one? No, thank you. Would you like one, Ellis? Okay. You want one? No, thank you. Kamsie, you want one? Kamsie, you want one? Oh, yummy. Indy, you want one? Okay. Now, this isn't in a fancy bag and doesn't really look much like a gift, but what I'm doing, guys, when I give you something like this, I'm showing you that I care about you guys. I love you guys. See, the gift doesn't have to be fancy to tell someone that you love them. It can be as simple as something like food or something that you've drawn or painted, right? Expensive gifts don't always tell people they love you, that you love them. So you, even as a kid, even though you don't have a job yet and may not make a lot of money because your parents need to give you more allowance, right? You can still give people gifts to tell them that you love them, just like I did to you guys by giving you something as simple as fun bugles. Cool, right? Okay. Will you guys pray with me? Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for our family, our friends, our pets, and this awesome church. Amen.
Amen. Who likes bugles? Do you have enough for everybody?
I can.
Okay, good. After church, we expect bugles.
Okay.
Did you show the clip already of Seinfeld? Oh. Okay, no Seinfeld clip. Oh, that's right, we can't. We'd be arrested. We'd be kicked off Facebook if we show it, so I'm just going to tell you. Years ago, Seinfeld, does everybody know who Jerry Seinfeld, the show is, the show about nothing? Okay, so they had this whole thing about re-gifting. Meaning, someone gave you a gift, and what did you do? You gave it to someone else, right? I mean, none of you. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand for a moment. Go ahead, stand. I want you to greet one another and truthfully answer the question, have you ever re-gifted? Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Have a seat. Show of hands. No lying. Honesty only. How many of you have ever re-gifted a gift? Raise your hand. How many of you have done it more than once? More than twice? How many of you re-gifted a gift to your preacher? Who hasn't re-gifted? Who claims they have not re-gifted? Well, that's because they don't do that in Russia, right? Right? Who else says they haven't re-gifted? Really? Patty, never? Wow. I feel suddenly cheap. Have you re-gifted? Yes? No? Never? Wow. Not that you remember? Hey, Matt, call Tom. Oh, Tom, has she ever re-gifted? You're a good husband. You just spoke Kay's love language, lying. Okay, so when I was getting ready for this whole series, I ran across an old sermon of Martin Luther King Jr.'s. Now, I took a class in Martin Luther King in my undergrad because I was a political science liberal arts major. And it was one of my favorite classes. And we read a lot of his sermons, but he preached this sermon 51 years ago. Is that me? Oh, don't touch anything. He preached this sermon about 51 years ago now, and it was called The Drum Major Instinct. You should read it sometime. And in this sermon, King says that too many of us have the desire to be first. Too many of us have the desire to be the one out front leading the band, being the drum major. And in that sermon, he challenged his congregation to have a different desire, to desire to live a life of service instead of being a drum major. And at the heart of the sermon, towards the end of it, King begins to talk about what he would like to have said at his own funeral. And he gave pretty specific instructions in this sermon. He started with that he didn't want the funeral to be too long. And then he said, I don't want anyone getting up and talking about my awards or my accomplishments or my church or those things like that that I have done. What I would like somebody to say is he tried to give his life serving. And then there was this one line that really resonated with me. And I haven't been able to get it out of my mind. Because he said this. He said, I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I'd like somebody to say that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. Well, about 2 months after he preached this, he was assassinated, and they played excerpts at his funeral from this sermon. Just want to try to love somebody. We're in the middle of this Lent series where that's what we're trying to learn to do. The goal for me is that on Resurrection Sunday, somehow I will be a more loving person than I was on Ash Wednesday. It is my hope that we become a more loving church, so that on Resurrection Sunday, we look back to Ash Wednesday and we're somehow a more loving people. And so what we decided to do is to focus on those five love languages that Gary Chapman talks about in his book. And he talked about these five that everyone speaks. You will have a natural one that is your top one, and then others in order. But all five of them we speak, and we receive love from them. Words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, physical touch. And we talked about how important this is, not just for your significant other or your parent or your child, but for the person you're sitting next to now, the coworker, the classmate, the someone you encounter at HEB. And how we can become more loving people if we fully begin to understand and speak these languages. I shared with you the first week that my love language is words of affirmation, which creates a problem sometimes at our house because I think that, Jill, you watching? See if she answers. Her fifth love language is words of affirmation. And so we tend to speak, if we don't know the other person's love language, out of whatever our number one love language is. So with me having words of affirmation, and Jill, it just doesn't, sometimes it just gets lost in translation. But we send out a link, I think, every Monday since we've started this series, encouraging you to go online and to take the assessment to see what your love language is. Has anyone else done it yet? What's your love language? What you got in the back? What do you have? Love language. Go ahead, yell it out. Physical touch. Words of affirmation. You are amazing. Anybody else? Another love language. Really? That quiet? Yes, ma'am. Quality time. You want to come stand with me and we'll just chit-chat? We'll just ball these people off. No? Well, you know, I'm words of affirmation. You just ruined my day. It's okay. But these love languages are important so we can be better people, more loving people. Now, here's what's interesting. The world that Jesus stepped into, well, it's different than ours. I mean, people still operate by love languages, they just didn't know it. And the one that we're talking about today was the one that was probably most messed up in the first century. Because today we're talking about the giving and receiving of gifts. And I believe this is the natural love language that reflects the heart of God like no other language. Because God, well, the most popular verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only son. God loved, God gave, love gives. But in the first century world, gifts were totally different than they are today. Leah talked about giving a gift to show that you love someone, right? In the first century world, that's not how it was. And the world Jesus stepped into, gifts were used as manipulation. There was not a gift given that didn't have some sort of string attached. Gifts were not free. If I gave you a gift, you were expected to return a gift to me of equal or greater value. And if for some reason you were unable to, you owed a debt of gratitude. And the debt of gratitude was you would serve me in some form or fashion. And usually what that meant is you would become part of this entourage, if you will. And the job of the entourage was to go with the giver of the gifts and to praise him in the public square, to blow trumpets as he walked down the street. So it was the powerful, the wealthy, the ones who were high in status, who were the ones giving gifts, not to show love, but to get something in return. It was how they operated. In fact, they even had a Latin phrase, "Deut ut des," which means I give so you will give to me. And that's how they even approached worship of their gods. They would give to the god of Jupiter. They would sacrifice this bull. And in doing so, they would say, I'm giving you this bull so you will give me rain for my crops or whatever it is they wanted. And that's the world Jesus entered into. Now, if you think that Jesus was crucified because he called himself the Son of God, you may want to rethink that for a second. There are people all over everywhere claiming to be God, the Son of God, all of that. The reason why Jesus was crucified is because he angered the rich, those in authority, the powerful, the ones with status. And he angered them because he was taking all that away from them. And he was taking the culture of the day and flipping it upside down. And we see it more in this idea of gifts than almost anywhere before, because Jesus changed it all. And especially when it came to God. Because the God Jesus preached about did not give so that he would receive from you. The God that Jesus preached about gave because God is a generous God. He gave to people who could not repay, who could not give back. And that upset the religious authorities to no end. And then Jesus began talking about giving out of love, not out of obligation. And he began stepping on toes of people who would give so that they can get something in return. I think we see this real clear. There was a night that Jesus gathered his disciples around, and he began teaching them. And in John 13, chapter 13, verse 34, he says something like this. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. See, what Jesus told them is, I am giving you a gift. I am giving you the gift of love. And then he said, I love this. If you look in the original language, this is what he said. And I want you to be re-gifters. Could it be that the disciples were the original re-gifters? Right? I mean, Jesus said it. I'm giving you this gift, and now I want you to give the same gift to everyone else. I want you to be a re-gifter. That's what God is calling us to be, to give this gift of love, so that this church will outlove everyone else. So I started thinking about this, and I thought, well, what can we do about this? And I thought, well, maybe in the morning, when our feet, or before our feet hit the floor, maybe we can make a commitment. And I thought of three things we could say. First thing is, today I will be a re-gifter. So for those of you who re-gift, you can now be proud. I will be a re-gifter. Today, I will love others as God loves me. And then finally, today, I will have a giving heart. I mean, can you imagine what would happen? Because when we give, lives are changed. Because giving gives life to the person who receives. Giving heals, giving bonds, giving connects. Giving is really the best way to live. I was thinking of the happiest people I know. And you know what I discovered? The happiest people I know are the people who give. And that shouldn't surprise me, because that's exactly what it says in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35, when it says this: "And all this I have given you an example, that by such work we must support the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Today I will be a regifter. Today I will love others as God has loved me. And today I will have a giving heart, because lives are changed. And what I've learned is not only the one who receives a gift is changed, but the one who gives the gift. So then how do we speak this love language this week? Well, I think there's a couple of things we have to make sure we do. I think, first of all, we have to remember that a gift is simply a tangible object that says, "I was thinking about you, and I want you to have this because I love you." Now, I've used two different examples in two different services. I'll use this one. Martha is our SPR chair. And about every 2 or 3 weeks, Martha brings a gift to the office. And what she brings isn't that fancy. It isn't that elaborate. She has memorized the drinks of the staff people who are there, their favorite drinks, what they like to get at Starbucks. You ask her. She'll tell you. Boom, boom, boom. And when she brings the gift, it's just a drink. But what it says is, "I was at Starbucks and I thought of you. And I wanted you to have this." It's not the Starbucks drink. It's the love that goes with it that it shows. Because that's what gifts are. They are symbols of love. And it can be any size, any shape, any color, any price. It can be purchased. It can be found. It can be made. Because those of us who speak a love language of gifts, the cost does not matter. Now, let me tell you what a gift is not. A gift is not some payment, some obligation, right? If I do something nice for you and you get a gift for me, like after Lent, you bring me a Mountain Dew out of obligation, that's not a gift. But if I come to my office and there's a 44-ounce Mountain Dew fountain drink just sitting there, that's a gift after Lent. During Lent, it's just torture. A gift expresses love. And also this. This is my favorite. Guys, listen to me. A gift is not given to smooth ruffled feathers. Right? Okay? Jill, if you're listening, if I do something to make Jill mad, right? I do something wrong and I come with flowers, that is not a gift. That is a bribe-ness. That is a payment to have Jill no longer be mad at me. That is not a gift. It is not a gift until I first say, "Baby, I am sorry. Here's some right? A gift is something that expresses love without expecting anything in return, including forgiveness. It is a gift that is given to simply show the other person how much you care because you were thinking about them. We give because we have a God who is generous, and that is our love language. And whether it's the top one or the last one, it is our love language, and we all love it, whether we want to admit it or not. When we receive a gift, we feel loved because we were given a gift by God. For God so loved, he gave. Love gives. And we are called to be generous, and we are called to give. Now, I thought a lot about this week, maybe way too much. But I really think Martin Luther King Jr. had a point. When I die, I want somebody to say at my funeral, you know that Marty? He gave. And he tried to love. If someone can stand and say that, then I think I lived a pretty good life. What do you want said at your funeral? If you want someone to stand up at your funeral and say, yeah, she really tried to love somebody, then you better start living your life loving. Words of affirmation. Quality time. Gifts. Those are the love languages. What do you want people to say about you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you Tuesday night.